Waiver Wire is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. It must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Waiver Wire, your favorite fantasy football podcast, or at least it's my favorite fantasy football podcast because I get to hang out for the next hour or so with Eddie Spaghetti. What's up, Eddie?
Good to see you, Jen. I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving. And I know your Cowboys won, and I had to then suffer the consequences of my Giants losing by Sal dumping gravy on my head as our part of our Thanksgiving side bet. So we squashed that, and now I'm on to bigger and better things. Hopefully with my Giants beating the Commanders in this very, very tough NFC East, but very excited to get back and recording a new episode of Waiver Wire with you.
Beautiful thing about that Thursday game is I actually had 7.5 was the line I had taken early in the week. So I was nervous taking it. I was like, oh, it feels really nervous. Okay, 7.5. If it had gone any higher, I would have taken the Giants plus the points. It got all the way to 9. They didn't quite clear 9 because of a late touchdown. And I was getting nervous at the half. I'm not going to lie. And then I was thinking, this is what Eddie was talking about. Like, do you hate watching the Cowboys on Thanksgiving? But then no.
I had the feeling of dread because that was like that game, the halftime especially, was like right when the food had to start being cooked and being brought out and being set up. And I'm watching it. It was like, what was it, 13-7 at halftime. So I'm thinking they're in this game, but it's a one-score game. And I just feel like Dallas is going to get hot, even though the Giants kind of are a second-half team, especially a fourth-quarter team. It's a different team now with all these backup players, all these practice squad players in, and you guys got hot, and you won the game like I expected. So, ruined the Thanksgiving, but it was something that I kind of had foresight on. I had a feeling they were going to lose.
And it might be even more of a different team soon because the rumors are that OBJ – the signing is imminent, despite the fact that he passed out on... Who hasn't passed out on a plane, really, Eddie? After being in Miami, right?
Miami to LAX flight, cross-country. I'm not sure what time of day the flight was taken off, but it was a...
Doesn't matter. Miami. I mean,
he wants to sleep. He probably took a couple sleeping aids. Mm-hmm. It's a brutal fight. I do feel for Odell, somebody who constantly goes back and forth from LAX to New York City. It is brutal. So I feel for you, Odell.
Odell probably going to be wearing the silver star on his helmet soon. So if you were picking up Michael Gallup in your waivers this week, I still think it's worth an add at least for the next few weeks because the Cowboys offense is trending in the right direction. And I think that was the most exciting thing for me watching this Cowboys game is it was the first time or the second time, I guess, last week was the previous time that the defense and the offense seemed to be firing at the same rate. And that was exciting. And that is why it's interesting. I was looking at the Super Bowl odds and the Chiefs have now surpassed the Bills as the favorite. So it's now Chiefs, Bills, Eagles, the Cowboys are like top 5 or 6. They're ahead of the Giants. Of course, they're ahead of the Vikings. They're ahead of the Buccaneers. And that's encouraging as a Cowboys fan, but we shall see. Lots of things yet to happen. But I do want to say about the Giants, I do like them this week. I don't quite understand why they're 2.5-point underdogs versus the Commanders when they're at home. Mm-hmm. I even broke down this game over and over again, and it still doesn't make sense. I understand Daniel Jones doesn't have a lot of receivers, but he can throw the ball if he needs to. And yes, the Washington Commanders can run the ball on the Giants, but plus 2.5.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. Daniel Jones is playing good football. He's top 12 in the NFL in QB rating. Not that the historical stats matter, but he is 4-1 in his career versus Washington. So he could clearly, beat that team. At least he's faced at least the core of that team in recent years. Taylor Heinicke is playing well. Doesn't necessarily scare me. I do think the running attack from Washington could be kind of tough, but the Giants have dealt with that all year long. They have faced a number of very good running backs, and they've seemed to figure out how to stop some of them. So I do like the Giants at home in this one. The schedule, very strange that the Giants have not played the Commanders yet once, and they've not played the Eagles yet once. I'm not really sure what the schedule makers knew that the NFC East is going to be a real battle all the way to the end. So they kind of backloaded all these game, all these divisional games, in December. So it's going to be interesting. But I do, I'm with you. I do like the Giants in this one. I'm not going to get too high, but I do like the Giants in this game.
I wish they'd told me, and I wish they'd warned me about the AFC West and Russell Wilson. But anyway, that's another story.
I mean, all time bad offense, which we don't have to get into because it's boring. But yeah. I mean, literally the worst offense we've seen in like 22 years in the NFL.
It's epic. And I have way too many teams with Russell Wilson on them. I had to use him last week in my big money league. I mean, I still won. I squeaked it out because a lot of my other players were awesome. I had Schultz. I had Amon-Ra. Yeah, I had Waddle, et cetera. But I can't do that. It's because Justin Fields was injured. So we are going to talk today about some quarterback ads too. You can probably still pick up even if your waivers have already run. One of the biggest quarterbacks to talk about this week, of course, is the return of Deshaun Watson. Certainly the NFL had some plans here when they gave him a strangely odd 11-week suspension that pitted him against his former team for his return game on Sunday. That would be the Houston Texans. Last I checked at one book, it was 7. I think Caesars has it at 7.5, the spread. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe so.
So let's talk about Deshaun Watson. Now, I feel like I have to make the obligatory, disclaimer. Yes, Deshaun Watson, accused by more than 24 women of sexual assault, maybe not a great person. He was not formally sentenced in a court of law, blah, 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 blah. The NFL suspended him for their personal conduct policy. If you don't want him on your team, I don't blame you. I understand. You don't want to feel like you want to play that player. However, if he's available on your waiver wire and you need a backup quarterback, there's no quarterback out there with a higher ceiling since Deshaun Watson led the league in passing yards in 2020, right? Now, that being said, there is a very wide range of outcomes for this weekend, and I do not advise starting him this weekend versus the Houston. I don't. Now, my colleague, Michael Fabiano, I know he does. And in certain instances, maybe in a super flex, et cetera, he might be your best option. But my issue is not with his, personal context stuff. That's off the field. I'm separating that from my fantasy football team. My issue is that the guy hasn't played football in nearly 2 years. He looked crummy in preseason. And to be quite frank, I don't see why the Browns wouldn't just ground and pound this game with Nick Chubb with how poor the Houston Texans run defense is. And we know that's been working so far. In addition to that, you can see these player interviews coming out. I'm not sure that any of these players feel the chemistry with Deshaun Watson. And I do think they felt that loyalty with Jacoby Brissett, who stepped in a difficult situation and was actually a really great game manager for them. He kept them close in many games. They're one of the top scoring offenses in the league, even though their record doesn't necessarily reflect that. They are a far better offense than we predicted, especially as they've been playing without Deshaun Watson. So my prediction for this weekend is Deshaun Watson's going to be average. I think he'll probably throw an interception. I think he'll have a turnover. I think it's true. If Houston's still playing without Derek Stingley, I like him more. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't have high hopes for Deshaun Watson being the guy that wins you your league this Sunday. I would sit back and watch.
I'm totally with you. We've talked about this before in this podcast, and I don't know why the NFL has this weird, this belief that the more time you take away from football, the better it is. And I'm not talking about an injury. I'm talking about over a season like he has missed. Like, why do I expect him to come back in and be awesome? And I get they're playing the Houston Texans, but I'm kind of with you. Like, I just don't know what to expect in this first game back when you've not set on the field in a real game that has mattered in quite some time. I'll ask you this because this will tie in Vegas to fantasy football, but scrolling through the totals quick, the Browns Texans total is 47. It is one of the higher totals of the week. So Vegas is expecting some offensive explosion from, I'm guessing, the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson, not on the Houston Texans side. But you're opposing that. You don't see a big offensive explosion coming from Deshaun Watson in the Browns offense.
No, I do think there could be, but let's review how many points per game the Cleveland Browns have scored. They've actually scored. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up. Exactly. They're like top six or something in offense. They always score a lot of points. Let's see. Let me pull this up right here.
I mean, yeah, with the team. So, yes. They run the ball like that. I mean, yeah. And Jacoby Brissett, he is a veteran that you can rely on. He is, if he's considered a backup quarterback, he is for sure in the upper echelon of backup quarterbacks. I mean, he's that win against the Bucs, they're probably too far away to win this AFC North division. I believe they're three games back, but nice win versus the Bucs. I mean, I also don't understand why. What is the purpose of bringing Deshaun back now, especially with them out of the playoff hunt? But I guess, you know, when you pay a guy that much money, you kind of have to play him.
So lest we're fooled by this total, the Browns are scoring an average of 24 points per game, and they're getting 5.6 yards per play, which is basically a lot of Nick Chubb. And then the combination of Jacoby Brissett and Amari Cooper. He's been phenomenal. And David Njoku's back too. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones has been a force as of late as well. So 24 points per game. Meanwhile, the Texans are scoring only 15.8 points per game, but 24 plus 16. Mm-hmm. 40 points. So that's one more touchdown.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. I just see that. I'm shocked that they have, you know, not many totals of that. I mean, maybe the Chiefs Bengals over a total is a little bit higher. Jaguars Lions a little bit higher, but outside of that, it's them. So they think that Vegas thinks that Deshaun Watson will step back on the field and not skip a beat, which to me is hard to see. Yeah, but
I'm with you. Yeah. So you're taking the under here, because I do see is that Texans can run the ball too, because Cleveland has been the second worst versus the run. So though Damian Pierce has had two down weeks, he could be the run first motor for this Texans team as well. So there's definitely a possibility there. And, you know, maybe Vegas is right. Maybe Deshaun Watson is going to be amazing. This is going to be this revenge game narrative and he's going to go off. But I'm just saying, as a fantasy manager, don't sit like Trevor Lawrence for Deshaun Watson. Just, I wouldn't do it. I know you've been holding him a long time, but I think it's better just to watch, because I'm not sure it's going to work out for you in fantasy points. Even if they end up scoring those points, they could be sloppy points and you can get a lot of subtractions for turnovers and sacks and things like that, because the guy hasn't played in a long time. And I'm not really sure that his team is really on his team, if that makes any sense. I mean, of course, they're going to try to win the game. But the other thing I'm not sure about is the whole revenge narrative. Like, do the Houston Texans really have the animosity towards Deshaun Watson that we assume they do? They've got a new head coach. Nobody's really there anymore that was there. He hasn't played. He didn't play with them all of last year. They probably don't care. So I don't know. I mean,
I'm with you on that. I don't think it's some kind of revenge game. And I do think, if you want to get a quarterback who has not played a lot, you want to get him right. I understand why you want to play him versus the Texans. Although it would be pretty funny, because this will be a test. If the game somehow is close, you need him to lead some kind of, fourth quarter, 2-minute drive. I would be very interested to see how he does play in those kind of circumstances. Like I said, has not stepped on a field in a game that mattered in quite some time. So that'll be a big test for him. But I don't see the Texans putting up much of a fight. I think the Browns could control that game on the ground, like we're saying, and, you know, they'll be up by two scores and that'll be that.
Well, they certainly couldn't give him an easier matchup.
Yeah, I know.
You know, to really come back to, which again is like, come on, but whatever. It is what it is. So that's my Deshaun Watson piece. Aaron Rodgers is intending to play versus the Bears. As we know, Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears. There's been a lot of talk about, should they let Jordan Love play? Is he the future? Here's the deal. Like, Aaron Rodgers has a contract with them to play for 3 years if he wants to. Let's stop. We've been saying, should it be Jordan Love now for how many years? 3 years? No, it's Aaron Rodgers. It's just like, yeah, he looked pretty good in the drive when he came in. It was a very short drive. There are many quarterbacks who've looked good in a short drive when they come in a situation like that. So Aaron Rodgers is probably going to play through multiple injuries. He's probably going to be okay and probably still going to squeak out the win, because we don't even know if Chicago's going to play Justin Fields. And they lost Darnell Mooney for the season. Get Darnell Mooney out of your lineups. Mm-hmm.
I think this could be, it stinks, because you see this matchup versus the Bears, like you mentioned, it's a game that he always owns. He owns that team. But now if Fields is out, I could see, and especially with his injury, I know that he's going to play. They had the scans and the ribs. He should be okay. We talked about the same exact thing with Justin Herbert weeks back. It's like if a quarterback's getting hit in the ribs, he's not going to feel too good throwing that ball. And I could see them again just be, this would be a ground heavy game for the Packers if they get up, early, and they're just going to sit on the football, run the clock, and not really make Rodgers do a lot, which stinks for people who have him, who are starting him. I know I do have him on one of my teams. Very unfortunate, did throw those couple picks last game. What I'm interested to see is that it seems like this Jordan Love thing is kind of exactly what happened to Aaron Rodgers when he was drafted. You sat on the bench, you had the legend play quarterback, and now all these rumors are starting that, well, Aaron Rodgers kind of finish his career exactly how Brett Favre did by moving on to a different team like the New York Jets, which is a team that's been brought up. I don't see Rodgers leaving, but that would be pretty interesting for fantasy purposes if we see Rodgers leave Green Bay and head to a team that has some weapons like the Jets and get to see what Jordan Love could do in Green Bay. But I think it's a little too far-fetched.
How about Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos?
To reunite with Hackett.
I mean, it worked to win him 2 MVPs. So yeah. I don't know. Okay, Najee Harris left halfway through Monday Night Football, ruining my player prop. I was very, very grumpy about it because he was on track to smash it. And whatever, I'm going to move on. Who to pick up in Pittsburgh? Who knows? Because Jaylen Warren could still be back. Benny Snell looked great. If possible, try to avoid it. If you have a deep bench, you can certainly grab Benny Snell, but we just don't know what's up in Pittsburgh. We used to be able to trust that Mike Tomlin would use one running back as the bell cow. Not even sure we can trust that anymore. This offense looks different. It looks different in a good way, though, in a lot of ways, because Kenny Pickett is showing a lot of promise, really connecting with George Pickens. It's certainly for fantasy, kind of reminds me of like Trevor Lawrence's first year. I mean, he was terrible, for fantasy last year, but you watched him and you were like, okay, but there's a reason maybe I'll draft him next year. And this year he's been doing that, right? He's been using the rushing upside. He's been getting better. He's going to be fine in the NFL. Kenny Pickett, same kind of thing. Like, no, he didn't throw a touchdown on Monday night, but he did. He looked better. He looked smarter. He was making better decisions. He was moving well. And he might be someone that's worth in a deep league or two quarterback league grabbing for your fantasy playoff stretch.
That Najee, like I have him on a few teams and I thought like, wow, like maybe down the stretch, heading into the playoffs, you'll have the guy you probably spent a high first round pick on to finally be a pretty useful running back. And then he, to follow up his great game he had a week ago, scores a touchdown in his first 10 carries. Great. And then he gets hurt. And obviously now their back situation, like you mentioned before, is a little bit up in the air. But in terms of Kenny Pickett, he seemed, Dave made a good point on the shows that he seems to be getting a lot more criticism early on than other quarterbacks did, but he's playing pretty well. And I guess that kind of comes with being the quarterback of the Steelers, a pretty notable nationwide fan base, then following in the footsteps of Big Ben. But I do think Kenny Pickett, I think going forward, we can kind of assume that Kenny Pickett will be not only a fantasy quarterback that we could start, but I think his weapons will also be much coveted because of, I think he really is the guy there.
I think, I don't think he's getting more criticism than most other quarterbacks. Are you kidding me? That's because Dave's a Steelers fan, so he's reading Steelers Twitter. You're telling me he got more criticism than Trey Lance when he first started? Nah. More criticism than Justin Fields when he first started? Nah. More criticism than Trevor Lawrence? Maybe, because they don't have an active fan base.
I think, but Trevor Lawrence was the one that he did cite, which I could agree with, but I also agree with, I mean, Zach Wilson also lately.
Zach Wilson? Oh my God.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think so. I actually have been surprised that they've kind of stuck with them and people have been less critical, especially even for fantasy. They've just kind of like ignored it and be like, okay, they're going to work it out. But all right. Anyway, I like him, I think, for the playoffs. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CAESARFULL, that's CAESARFULL, and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more. And because Caesar plays by the rules, here comes the lengthy, responsible gaming disclaimer. 21 and older must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? In Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Boston, your city, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's stick with running backs. Melvin Gordon signed with Kansas City Chiefs. Do I care? Absolutely not. Do not care at all. Isaiah Pacheco is there. You've got Jerick McKinnon there. You've got Ronald Jones. It's just no, right? I mean, hard pass. Josh Jacobs.
Awesome.
If you won the Josh Jacobs lotto, congratulations. Because he was one of those players you're like, okay, I guess I'll just take him here. And now he's, you know, winning you your fantasy football league. Who would have guessed that McDaniel would use him as a bell cow? I mean, the signs were not there.
Remember when they was like, in the offseason, they were like, oh, no, we're not going to cut him. Like, that was the conversation they had. They're like, no, we're going to keep him on the roster. It's like he's been arguably the best running back in football, at least one of.
I mean, it was just anyway, congratulations to Josh Jacobs and the Raiders and for that overtime win, too, because that was fun. Thank you. I enjoyed that very much. Michael Carter questionable for week 13. So I spoke with Brian Costello, who is the beat writer for the Jets yesterday. And I asked him about Zonovan Knight. And he said, yeah, Zonovan Knight actually had a really great camp. And I asked him what the deal was with James Robinson. And he said, well, there'd been debate. He isn't picking up the playbook. He's not looking as good as they expected. You know, he was dealing with that knee injury before they got him. He said, in his opinion, you know, because he was a big name, people got a little higher on him than maybe they should have. Now, there are other options in New York. But it looks like Zonovan Knight, I mean, if Michael Carter doesn't play. So when Michael Carter went out, Zonovan Knight, the undrafted free agent rookie, took 18 of 22 early down snaps. So Ty Johnson still did some catching. But Zonovan Knight had 103 all-purpose yards and also caught three passes for 34 yards. So Robert Saleh said he wanted to spark. I do think he's someone that you probably want to add. He's available in 99% of leagues. The Jets are winning games right now. Mike White targets his running backs. They're going to stick with Mike White. We'll talk about Mike White in a minute. I think it could be the most interesting pickup this week on the waiver. I'm not saying he's going to win you a league, but if I'm picking between he and, say, Mason or Ty Davis Price of the Niners, I'd rather have Zonovan Knight.
What really confuses me, too, is because we were both on the James Robinson train early on in the season, saying that his value for where he's going in drafts, you should definitely take him. And then, going back to players who didn't play a meaningful snap, that was Travis Etienne, who missed all of last year. So we said James Robinson is the guy to take in Jacksonville. Obviously, gets traded at a good time because obviously the injury to Breece Hall. And then you think, all right, well, the Jets are running the football great. I know they have Michael Carter there, but James Robinson will step in. The offense looks okay. And then weird stuff where it's like then Zach Wilson just breaks and becomes, he's no longer the guy. Obviously, they don't use James Robinson. And then Michael Carter, who was the next guy up, is now hurt. And they're using, backup. So the Jets running back depth chart, luckily for them, having guys like Zonovan Knight will help them. But I'm pretty shocked this James Robinson experiment didn't work out. They have Ty Johnson, too. So it's like there's a lot going on in the Jets backfield.
I mean, that being said, James Robinson is probably going to have to be activated this week if Michael Carter doesn't play.
Sure.
So, it could be a carousel, but I do believe that Zonovan has earned another chance, at least for the early downs. So he's someone interesting. And moving to that San Francisco 49ers backfield, let's talk about that for a second. So Eli Mitchell out now basically for the season. You can drop him. Christian McCaffrey dealing with the knee soreness. I think he probably plays through it. Knowing Christian McCaffrey, I think he actually does try to play through things, but maybe he'll be limited. And so then the question is, who do I pick up? Is it Jordan Mason? Is it Ty Davis Price? Is it Tevin Coleman? Here's the thing. Don't pick up any of them if you don't have to, because you know why? Kyle Shanahanigans. We don't know. We kind of got lucky. Like, we knew that he liked Eli Mitchell, but even with Eli Mitchell joining Christian McCaffrey, he still wasn't putting up a ton of points on your fantasy stat sheet, right? He was a flex play at best. So what are you expecting from this trio of guys? The same thing? You don't want that on your team if you don't have to, and you don't want to play that guessing game and get it wrong. In addition to that, I know Deebo Samuel has been struggling lately, and maybe he's a little banged up too, but you have to remember Deebo Samuel is a weapon they can also use in the run game that they have used successfully in the run game. And this game is going to be good.
That was a couple weeks ago when Kyle Shanahan came out and said that Eli Mitchell is going to, get the same amount of carries as Christian McCaffrey after trading for McCaffrey, after he has a game where he has a touchdown on the ground and the air receiving as well. And you're just like, this guy's never going to break, and he has to toe the company line and be like, oh, no, I like being in the committee. It's better for my body. It's like, well, sure, I think all players in the NFL want the ball as much as possible. But then this injury happens, and then they draft the running back. Like we mentioned, TDP was drafted in, the third or fourth round by the Niners, and he was barely used. They did this last year, I believe, with Trey Sermon, who out of Ohio State, same exact thing. You can never really trust what's going on there. And then they go and sign Tevin Coleman, who Shanahan loves. Obviously, he wasn't active last week, but could be this week. And now he's a guy that you're reading that could steal some carries from these guys in the backfield. I mean, obviously, if you have Christian McCaffrey, you got to play him. But it's just like it's more of the same with Kyle Shanahan. It really scares the crap out of me with any 49ers running back that isn't CMC. Because this week will tell us a lot. I would not be shocked if Tevin Coleman gets in the mix here. But yeah, I would just stay away, and hopefully that McCaffrey somehow just leads in touches and receptions.
Yeah. So for me, they're desperation ads only. And who do you prioritize over Tevin Coleman, Ty Davis Price, and Jordan Mason? I don't know. Probably Tevin Coleman because he's the veteran. Probably. But again, it is a dart throw at best. And just know that that's probably not someone you're going to be able to just lock and load moving forward, because that's not how the San Francisco 49ers offense works. Remember 2 weeks ago, Christian McCaffrey threw a pass, caught a pass, rushed for a touchdown. He did all of those things. And then the last couple of weeks, he's basically done nada. So there's just no way to predict. It could be Deebo Samuel going off any week. It could be Brandon Ayuk. And this is part of why they're a winning team, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody's afraid of their quarterback, but they're just afraid of what could come at them from any direction at any time. Who knows? And it's kind of brilliant as a real football team. It's really, really frustrating for your fantasy football team. So boo on that. J.K. Dobbins returns from the IR. Had a few questions about whether he's worth an ad. I would say no. It's a 21-day practice window, right? He didn't look great last we saw him. Mm-hmm. So now he's kind of got like injury on top of injury. And Gus has looked better returning from his injury. He seems to be the clear leader there. They've got Kenyon Drake. They've got Justice Hill. I would say no, I wouldn't bother. I don't think that the one game where J.K. Dobbins is going to go off for you is going to be, you know, in week 17 and win you your league. I think the odds of that are low.
I'm with you. The last game when he got hurt was versus the Giants. He really didn't do much in that game. And you're right, they're rolling with the hot hand. It's not worth to start playing Dobbins and get a bunch of zeros.
If you do need to grab a fantasy football quarterback, Kyren Williams is someone you might consider. The Rams offense is a total dumpster fire. Do not misunderstand that. But he was like the second most targeted receiver. He got the second most receiving yards for the Rams with whoever they're starting, Bryce Perkins, or I don't know. It's a mess. But he is someone that a warm body you might be able to put in that might get you some points. As you mentioned, Daryl Henderson, now in Jacksonville. Now, this is interesting. If Travis Etienne does not go, I think he will, but if he does not go, Daryl Henderson is someone you have to start because they've got Detroit. They've got Detroit. So Daryl Henderson and Jermichael Hasty become plays.
Of course, Daryl Henderson, pick him up if you can get him. He, you know, obviously didn't have the greatest career with the Rams, but he was still a guy you could start, you know, and tying this to the Rams. I mean, Bryce Perkins at running back, quarterback, Kyren Williams at running back, and their now leading receiver as Van Jefferson this is definitely the weirdest fantasy story / team of the entire year. It has to be to basically lose the entire offense. You're losing
Matt and Aaron Donald
Aaron Donald as well, too, on the flip side of the ball. Having a guy who's a record breaking receiver, and then you lose him, the Super Bowl quarterback, Matt Stafford, and what we thought would have been the Cam Akers, you know, rushing attack. It then goes to Darrell Henderson, now to, you know, Notre Dame rookie Kyren Williams. What a total mess there. And then you have to like worry about your coach leaving. What we thought would have been a fantasy mainstay for years to come has now kind of broken apart. So very, very sad thing to see what happened in L.A. Where we live. And, I guess good for the Jags to pick up Darrell Henderson, who, you know, I like to see what really caused him to leave the Rams in the first place. I like to see that story come out because that to me makes no sense.
Well, the whole thing, yeah. I mean, the Allen Robinson's done for the season. Matt Stafford's likely done for the season. I don't see why they would bring him back. Cooper Kupp, no reason to bring him back. They've got to just be playing for next year. And maybe they just wanted to see Kyren Williams and Cam Akers and say, okay, guys, duke it out. We'll decide who we're keeping. And Daryl go, maybe they agreed. Really like, hey, if you want to play more for a better team, I don't know. Not that Jacksonville's a better team, but they are a better team. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy thing. They're certainly better for your fantasy team by a long shot. It's time to talk about Mike White, the legend of Mike White. Mike. Last year, we saw Mike White be dominant, throwing for over 400 yards and 3 touchdowns versus the eventual AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals. Then he followed that game up as the caveat with like a 4 interception game versus the Bills. Now this year, obviously versus a very decimated Bears team, 3 touchdowns over 300 yards. Great on your fantasy stat sheet, even better for your fantasy assets. Cause suddenly we saw Elijah Moore catch a touchdown. Garrett Wilson was still phenomenal. The running backs, whoever they are clearly going to be usable now. If Mike White is there, Corey Davis could have opportunity. The whole situation got brighter. Like we were complaining about when they switched from Joe Flacco to Zach Wilson, what it did to all our fantasy assets. Well, it looks like we're going to get it back now with Mike White. Now, as I said, last year after his brilliant debut, for those 4 weeks that he played, he immediately followed up with a total stinker. So this needs to come with the caveat that sometimes people have brilliant games. It doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing. I mean, we've seen that with Zach Wilson precisely. But this matchup is with Minnesota, and it's one of the best matchups for a quarterback. They've allowed the most passing yards to opposing quarterbacks, and clearly Mike White has a big arm. So yeah, I'm interested.
The minute this happened, this Mike White, you know, had a great game, and the transition to him as the new quarterback of the Jets, I was circling this. I could not wait to talk about this with you, because to me, this is it's obviously being from New York, having a lot of fans who are friends who are Jets fans, and they're like, "Oh, Mike White's better than Zach Wilson." I get that. I get that some quarterbacks could slip through the crack. They could not to be Tom Brady, but could be in that right. You know, or Tony Romo, the ones who are not really highly touted. They kind of just find a way to make it and are successful in the NFL. But like Kurt Warner, another great one. But like you said, and I'm glad you pointed that out, like those games last year, he did follow it up with stinkers. He had more interceptions than touchdowns when he played last year. He had a 4-interception game, a 2-interception game, and a 2-interception game. The only game he didn't was he only threw 11 passes, and it was still a loss. And he went 1-3 with losses to Buffalo, Indianapolis, and the Patriots. We all remember them beating the Super Bowl losing Bengals 34-31. But that, like, I'm not trying to poo-poo Mike White, and I clearly think this team is better with him. Obviously, he's getting the ball to the weapons, and that's something that Zach Wilson wasn't doing. Whether people could have come out and said it could be the yips, like after his injury, he did not, train the right way, and he was afraid of getting hit, and he wasn't looking at his options. Kind of the same thing we talked about with Justin Fields weeks ago. Mike White's doing that. He's finding the open guys, so credit to him. But I'm not ready to be like, Mike White is the answer. Mike White is the guy. And I would not be, it's a great matchup versus the Vikings, but I would not be shocked if he has another multi-interception game and whatever happened last week does not really repeat again this week.
Yeah. And so that's the caution I want to put forward. Now, I have settled a debate for me. Mm-hmm. Who would you rather have, if you're putting in your waiver claims this week or you're making a claim, who would you rather have for the rest of the season through the fantasy playoffs if you're getting a backup quarterback? So I'm talking like you're afraid to start Russ as your backup quarterback. You've got someone like a Justin Fields or a Josh Allen, but you just need depth. Would you rather have Kenny Pickett or Mike White?
Oh, man. I think I may, I'm going to like contradict myself here, but I may actually go with Mike White.
Okay.
Because I do think that his ceiling is, we have seen him throw multiple games with, 3+ touchdowns. And I do think this the Jets are a better team on paper than the Steelers are. And I think that, they're able to, especially if Michael Carter somehow gets healthy and is back. Like, I like their ground attack. They have dynamic receivers who can take the ball to the house, multiple really good receivers. So I do think Mike White just may cost you in the games with the turnovers, but I do think that there are some games that he will throw for a large amount of points. It's also, I know I talked to some Jets people in the media, and they're definitely convinced that Zach Wilson press conference had a lot to do with it.
100%.
And he lost the locker room. And I think there's a little extra juice that everyone's like, all right, cool. We have this guy who's committed and wants to win. That's why this Mike White thing feels a little bit better than Zach Wilson, because there's a stink on him.
Right. And that's what I was talking to Brian Costello about. He said the energy, I asked him, how's the energy in the locker room around Mike White? And they said, they love him. Mm-hmm. I mean, they feel united. Mm-hmm. They're on team Mike White. And so the energy has been better in the locker room. And a lot of times that's just simply what it's about. Cause look, let's go again to the Broncos. Like, we can't harp on them enough. The energy's not good in the locker room. Right. So I don't see the hope of it getting better here. At least you have this potential, this upside. Here, another case in point, let's talk about Tua Tagovailoa. Look at what Mike McDaniels has done for Tua. Tua said this week, I used to look in the mirror last year and be like, am I just not good? Like, am I not going to be able to get it done at the NFL level? And now he's one of the top quarterbacks mm-hmm. in the league. And it's not by a small margin. He is looking really, really phenomenal. And it's because the coach played to his strengths and believed in him. And so there is something about that hope and that feeling of team, and the whole team is behind Tua. And suddenly Tua is a great quarterback. If the whole team is behind Mike White and they're in the playoff hunt, they're actually a good team, even without Breece Hall, even without Michael Carter. I mean, this team is a fighting team. I mean, it's hard to not get excited about the New York Jets.
Yeah. I think Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas are both the right man for those jobs. I think they have a good thing going on. And I think the Zach Wilson thing is unfortunate. I mean, we've seen, Jen, we've talked about a lot in this pod, that a lot of these young quarterbacks have not transitioned so easily. And I think Zach Wilson, obviously him getting injured is never good. And like I said, like those things about the yips and him not returning to this it's entirely possible. I think he's a little immature and he lost the locker room, and losing the locker room is never a good thing. And Mike White is a guy that just knows his role. He does the prep work. He's, you know, and he's clearly giving it his all out there. Again, I think he could have some big games, but we'll see. I think there's a reason why he's, you know, late round pick Mike White, and he had to, you know, transfer to different colleges. I think it'll come to fruition right. That he may not be Tom Brady 2.0, but I think for the time being, he definitely have this Jets team rallying around him.
Absolutely. Okay. Couple more waiver wire ads just to round it all out. At quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, if he's available, just a phenomenal matchup this week versus Detroit. He was great this week for your fantasy team. He's put up some pretty good fantasy games, and this sets up well. Second highest game total of the week in Las Vegas at Caesar Sportsbook. And then Jared Goff, he's actually been dropped. He's on the other side of this game. This is a game where Jared Goff could put up great fantasy points for you. Of course, Jamal Williams is a start. He's always a start now. But what's interesting to me about Jared Goff is that his weapons are getting healthier. Amon-Ra looked great on Thursday. DJ Chark caught a touchdown. DeAndre Swift is being used more. Still weird what's going on there. But I think, you know, it's the whole thing we talked about with Hard Knocks, that they don't see that he has the heart of a warrior the way that Jamal Williams does. And that's kind of way that team operates. And Jamal Williams has been incredibly successful.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously fantasy players like to have the one clear lead back. We can handle two, but the minute you start putting a third running back in there, especially when it's a guy you're wasting, shouldn't say waste, but using a high pick on DeAndre Swift, it was shocking, like we said last week, especially how they portrayed him in Hard Knocks. But the offensively, the Lions were great early on in the year, but the defense gave up a bunch of points. Now they had it, you know, obviously the win versus the Giants. They looked pretty good on Thanksgiving. So maybe this team's kind of found it. I think they're not probably as bad as their record is. I think they actually are a better team, and Dan Campbell's finally getting the most out of the squad.
Yeah, it's fun to see. At the running back position, I think we pretty much covered everybody there. Obviously, Isaiah Pacheco and Rashad White are priorities if they're available, but they're likely not. And wide receiver, Zay Jones, baby, available 75% of fantasy leagues. Now, he was like on our lists early in the season, and a lot of people, I think, picked him up and then dropped him again. Because at one point, he was more than 50% rostered. But again, this matchup is phenomenal versus Detroit. And we saw him targeted 14 times. Got 11 of them for, I think, 145, career high day for Zay Jones. And he seems to be a favorite target for Trevor Lawrence. And this is just a great matchup. So he's 75% available. Get him.
I cannot agree more. This is great for both parties involved. It helped Trevor Lawrence now trust a guy, and it makes him better and makes him a usable quarterback maybe down the stretch. And then reversely, Zay Jones getting, you know, 5+ targets in most of his games, I mean, double digits last game. You love to see that. And it's good that he has a quarterback that trusts him. And he's a guy, like we said, either you could have picked up early in the year if you stashed him, great for you. And he could be, you know, maybe not as far as a league winner, but definitely somebody you want to plug in the lineup. So that it's great going on down there in Jacksonville.
Treylon Burks still only 50% rostered. Not the way he probably saw his first NFL touchdown going down, but whatever, it counts. And
the classic receiver following, like, yeah. When you saw that replay, I thought like, okay, well, Derrick Henry's like by himself. The guy catches up. And then the funniest part too is the whole team like jumping around Treylon Burks for doing his job and following the running back and falling on the football. And then the only person that was like kind of shocked or confused was like Derrick Henry, like wasn't celebrating because he was like, what did I just do? I lost their team in possession. And I cost myself a touchdown. That was pretty funny. But yeah, Treylon Burks, I did start him in a few leagues, so I feel pretty good about that.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, he's someone that has the potential to be the wide receiver one on a team that plays well into the playoffs. And like your argument could be, oh, but they're a run first team. Yeah, but did you see what AJ Brown did for your fantasy stat sheets on this run first team? So the threat of the run can sometimes open up that passing game. And Treylon Burks is someone I think you should grab. I don't think he's necessarily a start this week, kind of a tough matchup versus Philadelphia. But someone you don't want to leave on your waiver wire as far as upside potential moving forward. Michael Gallup, OBJ. This is going to be interesting. If OBJ is available and you can grab him, it does look like he's going to sign with the Dallas Cowboys. It will be a few weeks before you can use him. But Michael Gallup, at least in the interim, seems to be moving up the depth chart, was far more targeted in Thursday's game and had his best game of the season. Not that it was huge, but trending in the right direction. Tight ends, you know, it's a dumpster fire again, but Evan Engram, Foster Moreau both have great matchups this week on paper. So you could try those guys. You could try Jelani Woods, who led the Colts receivers on Monday. Don't know if that's going to stick. Don't know if that's going to stay. Not a great matchup versus Dallas. I mean, Dallas is going to have Matt Ryan on his back the whole game. Are they not?
I think so. And, you know, I don't know if it's considered news, but Jeff Saturday did come out and say Matt Ryan will be the starter the rest of the way, which, again, adds another wrinkle into what were they doing with Sam Ehlinger and what was the point of Nick Foles. But, yeah, I think
the Colts, I'll tell you what they weren't doing in the meantime, and that was studying the clock management playbook.
Well, I don't know if this is my conspiracy brain, but I think to me, they clearly wanted to just tank. That's the way to tank without really tanking, is by not using the timeouts, letting the clock run out, lose the game. That's a less obvious way of saying we want to tank without just, you know, benching all your
starting players. They were still in the playoff hunt.
They are. Yeah, I know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but I think they know they're a first-round exit, so I think that's one of those deals where we're going to put in Jeff Saturday. He's a good locker room guy, and we're going to lose these games, and then we'll start next year fresh.
Terrible. Well, then Jeff Saturday better be guaranteed a contract for next year, because that's not fair to him if they're making him take the hit there, because he says he wants to coach for an NFL team. I mean, I'm not like a Jeff Saturday cheerleader, but I'm just saying. At least he's smart enough to know to use the run game.
They may give him, I think he may just, they move him to like the front office or some kind of, secondary kind of coaching role, and, you know, they'll hire somebody else. Unfortunately, this may be like a Rich Bisaccia scenario where he doesn't get to keep the job, despite if the team does get, you know, rally around him. But I think the Colts are trying to tank here and actually find their quarterback of the future and not do this whole Matt Ryan, Phil Rivers, Carson Wentz thing year after year.
One more deep dart, just in case. Kendall Hinton, I know it's gross, but he's played 92.2% of the snaps the past 3 weeks without Jerry Jeudy. If Jerry Jeudy doesn't play, he's on the field. He dropped a touchdown pass this week, but, you know, if you're in a deep league, it's an option. Okay, everybody, we'll be right back after this quick break. We got to get to our mailbag. We have a lot of mailbag questions. We're going to go through them rapid fire right now, and then we're going to wrap it up telling you about how you can play with us to win $100 in our pick 'em contest. And we'll give you how we did this week and wish you luck to beat us, which is likely.
Yes, yes. A lot of questions. Thanks again for everyone chiming in on Extra Points Pod at Jen Piacente, at that Eddie Murphy. We'll get to any of your questions on Twitter. So the first one here coming from Chris H., Lazard or Gabe Davis taking over Christian Watson's spot?
No, don't do it. I think Aaron Rodgers plays. He owns the Chicago Bears. I know that Christian Watson either like scores a touchdown or drops the ball, but this is a situation that's probably good. I do not like Alan Lazard. I don't think it's there. And Gabe Davis, I want to say yes, but he's been very hot and cold, and this is not a great matchup versus the Patriots. I think it's possible he could get a touchdown, but he's only had like just about 11% of the red zone opportunities, which is the same amount as Dawson Knox and fewer than Isaiah McKenzie. So again, Gabe Davis, it sucks because he could really go off and have a huge game for you, but he could also put up a total stinker. So I think Christian Watson is the smartest play.
All right, moving on to our pal Ben Kelly. We got two questions here. Start with this one, quarterback question. And this is obviously if Justin Fields plays, but Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence?
So I would play Trevor Lawrence just this week only because I am concerned about Justin Fields not finishing the game should anything happen, should it become a blowout in any way. And he doesn't have Darnell Mooney. So it's going to be a little different. I think this could be a very run first game because of how poor the Packers are. Now that is actually good for Justin Fields in a lot of ways. It's also good for David Montgomery. So this week only, I think it's safer to play Trevor Lawrence because this matchup with Detroit is so, so, so good. But here's the thing, like no one could blame you for either start. You know, I got a great question from Sal this week, last week, about whether to start Geno Smith or Justin Herbert. That was actually a tough one.
Yeah.
We went Justin Herbert. I hope we did. And that did pay off. But I had to think for a second. I definitely had to think on that one.
And back to Ben's question too, is you nailed it with the injuries to the Bears and Justin Fields getting over his own injury. Plus we were just talking about how good the connection, the Zay Jones, Trevor Lawrence connection is. You look at Trevor Lawrence's last few games, like whether it's a super high completion percentage, you know, throwing for multiple touchdowns in a game, over 230 yards the last three games. I think maybe I'll say now Trevor Lawrence is kind of picking things up and getting on the right track to what we expect him to be. So hopefully it means good things for that. But the other question that Ben Kelly had was, are there targets or handcuffs when it comes to playoff time fantasy?
So, you know, you always want a handcuff when it comes to the fantasy playoffs, and the obvious ones are Samaje P right now for the Bengals, who should be in the playoffs. Should help you get to the playoffs. Alexander Mattison for Dalvin Cook, though, again, Zonovan Knight is one we mentioned. As far as strength of schedule, quarterbacks that have great strength of schedule, Mike White is one of the best. So if you needed a handcuff, the strength of schedule is probably the second easiest through your fantasy playoffs. The other guys are guys you don't really want, but Kenny Pickett's the fifth easiest. So these are guys that are available if they're just handcuffs. But again, you know, the easiest schedules belong to Marcus Mariota, Mac Jones, Aaron Rodgers, you know, yeah, grab one of those guys. For running backs, easiest schedules, the Jets running backs, again, so Zonovan Knight, these are guys that are available on your waiver wire. Isaiah Pacheco maybe is available. You could go deeper. Jerick McKinnon, you're not going Melvin Gordon. Don't do it. Gus Edwards, yes. Khalil Herbert is a stash. He could come back versus Detroit in your fantasy football championship game if you have the room. Wide receivers, you're going to want to go with probably maybe a Terrace Marshall Jr. I don't think you can get Pickens or Deontay Johnson anymore. I'm just trying to think of who's available. Michael Gallup has a good schedule down the stretch, and OBJ, who we already talked about. Kendall Hinton actually has a good schedule, but again, he's playing with Russell Wilson. And Corey Davis is someone you could consider. So those are just some ideas that you could actually get.
All right. Moving on to our next question here. This is coming in from Jamie, and they need to start three of these four. Pollard, Zeke, Jamal Williams, and Austin Eckler. I believe in the tweet, Jamie said that they're definitely going to start Eckler.
I would start Jamal Williams and Tony Pollard. I know it's really confusing in Dallas, and it's definitely possible that Zeke could have a better day. He had a better week last week, but Pollard still had the same amount of carries, and on the ground, he was used. I would just go, so hard to pick because Zeke scores the touchdowns, but if you're playing Zeke, you're playing him more for the touchdowns, not for the volume. So I'm going to lean Pollard. But the good news is, Jamie, you're so set up. It's so good. I don't think you're going to bust either way, because what you might get from Zeke is like 45 yards and a touchdown. What you'll get from Pollard is probably at least 68 yards and a couple catches. So it'll probably end up about the same.
Definitely a good running back room. Sticking with the running backs, this is a question coming in from at D. Coleman 24. We were talking about it before, the 49ers, very strange backfield. And I believe, Jen, you did tweet about this too, but Tyrion Davis Price or Jordan Mason.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think I would. I would avoid it. If you're taking a guess, I guess Jordan Mace. I mean, Shanahan spoke glowingly about both of them. If you had asked me a week ago before the game, I would have said Tyrion Davis Price because he was the guy that had more buzz in the preseason. I don't know. Flip a coin, but don't call tails like Josh Allen.
The same, sticking with D. Coleman 24 again, second part of his question, needs two of these four in PPR, Olave, Jacoby Myers, Pittman, or Burks.
So Jacoby Myers may not even play. So let's take him out because he's probably injured. And yes, the Bills have actually been generous to opposing wide receivers the last 10 weeks, but they're still the Bills. They can turn on at any time. Olave's a must start. He's always a must start now. So it comes down to Pittman or who?
Treylon Burks.
Treylon Burks. Oh, Treylon Burks does not have a great matchup versus Philadelphia. I'll go Pittman because they'll probably throw the ball more because they should be in a negative game script. Go Pittman. Ugh.
And this is, I believe, is our last question coming in from Matthew Cavazzo 16. Needs a PPR flex position. Gabe Davis, Deontay Johnson, Antonio Gibson, and or Gus Edwards.
I'm going to go Antonio Gibson. I like Gus, but that is a little bit more of a touchdown or bust play, and Denver is a tough matchup. Antonio Gibson, you can run on the New York Giants, as we've seen, and I think that the Commanders have had success by using the run game. I think they'll continue to do it. I think they will alternate both Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, but as it is a PPR league, and J.D. McKissick is injured, those catches should go to Antonio Gibson, and that could be a sneaky play in PPR leagues. Deontay Johnson, I just don't trust him right now. And then who was the first one? Was it Gabe Davis?
Yeah, it was Gabe Davis, Deontay Johnson, Gibson, again, and
Gus Edwards. I want to say start Gabe Davis, but it's just so hard to trust him versus the Patriots. And I'm going to say sit him, and he's going to have like a massive game. But so it's up to you. But if it were my team, I would start Antonio Gibson.
And lucky I just checked the Twitter. We have one final question coming in. Okay. We didn't forget you, Timothy Miller asking, it's a must win, needs to start one Swift, Pierce, or Pacheco.
Ooh, Tim. Okay. It's going to be really tough. It's not going to feel good to do this, but I think that the smart play is Damian Pierce, because the Browns have given up the second most points to opposing running backs. And I think, yes, I know, understand that the Texans may be in a negative game script, but I don't know that it matters because their best weapon is Damian Pierce, and they may just have to go to him. I know he's put up two stinkers in a row. So if you feel uncomfortable with that, Pacheco or DeAndre Swift are certainly worthy pivots. I would probably pivot to Swift because it's PPR, and I think he'll accumulate those extra catches in a really high scoring game.
And that's it. Again, thank you all for tweeting at Extra Points Pod, at Jen P. Jenny, at Eddie Murphy. We will answer our fantasy and mailbag questions at the end of every show.
We certainly will. And we know it's going to be trickier and trickier to make those correct decisions as you get down the stretch to your fantasy playoffs, which are just 2 weeks away till you find out if you have a playoff berth in most leagues. Also, remember that if you're in a high stakes league, check when is the last week you can make waiver wire acquisitions. And for many, it's week 14. So you need to think ahead. You need to make sure you have a handcuff for every single position, because you don't want to be caught being unable to pick up someone in week 16 or 17 when you're down to the wire. So be aware of that. Do not save your fab budget. If you've been stingy with it, you have, you know, $800 of your $1,000 left, now's the time to just get the guys you need. That's what you saved it for. You cannot take your fab budget with you, much like you cannot take timeouts with you in a Jeff Saturday Colts game. Okay. That's what you have to do with your fab. You got to spend it if you need it. Please play with us for our weekly pick'em contest at extrapoints.com/arcade. You can win $100 if you win. This week's winner was Joe Dobies, who got 11 right. Congratulations, Joe. That is awesome. I thought I was doing pretty well this week. I got 9 right. And that's the second week in a row. I got 9 in a row. So I feel like I'm starting to get back in the groove. Eddie, you did well, 6-6-1. Mike Beckwith won. I got to start playing the prop quiz. I keep forgetting. Mike Beckwith won the prop quiz. He got 7 right, and he's won in back-to-back weeks. Mike, come over here and give me your secret plays.
The prop quizzes are so tough. So good job by you, Mike.
It is so tough.
Right? It's incredible.
I think that's why sometimes I don't play. Like, I've gone in and I'd be like, I don't know, like anybody could win the most receiving yards this week. These are 4 great matchups. But if you win it, you get a golden hat. I guess Mike has 2. Do you think he'll negotiate with me?
I mean, it's like there's very few people left at Extra Points that they don't have the gold hat. And I think Mike has a heart. I think he has to send them our way. But hopefully
okay.
we'll turn things around. Like you said, you picking 9 right in back to back weeks. I think maybe we're on the incline here.
I think we're going in the right direction. And so are you guys. You're going in the right direction. You are just 2 weeks away from your fantasy football playoff berth, and we will be with you through the entire fantasy football playoffs and postseason, helping you win. All right, guys, go out and crush it.
We'll be right back.